Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DVC Newscast, episode number 15. I am not Shannon, but Shannon is not available today to record because she has some flooding issues. There's been a lot of rain in South Florida. Luckily, Jake is able to join us even through the flooding, and welcome, Jake, to the show.
Hey, Pete. Happy to be here.
You surviving the rains of South Florida?
We're getting there. We had a rough couple of 3 days, not really typical for us in November. Usually we'll get this kind of weather in September. We were spared this year, but then it decided to just downpour in November because, you know, it's 2020. So that's going on, but I'm here.
Shannon had a picture of a lake outside her house.
Oh, yeah. Both of us have lakefront properties now.
So anyways, we wanted to put together a show mainly because we're going to be talking about the 2021 maintenance fees, which came out just the other day. But before we get into that, I'd like to thank our sponsor, which is the DVC Rental Store this week. If you are interested in renting some points or renting a vacation, they have a ton of opportunities there. People are renting out their points right now. There's lots of chances that you can get a DVC rental if you don't have enough points to complete your stay or something like that, or if you have points you need to rent out if you're not able to travel to Florida right now. But this is a great resource for that. So use the DVC rental store. They even have exchanges for cruises and also ABD, which of course, right at the moment, those aren't going, but the cruisers are hopefully going to be restarting soon. So we might see those coming back up. And so that's an opportunity to trade your points in and get some value towards a cruise. Go check them out, DVC Rental Store. And then let's get to the topic at hand, which is the 2021 maintenance fees.
Came out a little earlier this year than expected.
Usually it's right towards the end of November. But this year, the condo association meeting is December 10th. Is that right?
Yep. The 10th at Walt Disney World.
So usually it comes out maybe 2 weeks in front of that. So usually you see it towards the end of November. But this year they came out on November 8th, right?
Yeah. No. So they came out on Monday, November 9th.
Monday, November 9th. No, we thought we would have an episode, talk a little bit about them, talk about what they are and how much they went up relative to last year's maintenance fee numbers. It's a weird year in that we had several months for most resorts and a lot of months for a few resorts that the resorts were closed this year, but everything appears that Disney did not take that into account when putting out the 2021 maintenance fees. Earlier in the year, they talked about having some sort of refund based on your 2020 maintenance fees around the time of the annual meeting. So we may still hear something coming along in the future, but for right now, pretty much all the resorts went up about 4 to 6%, which is maybe a little higher than average. I don't know. It depends on the resort too, of course.
A little bit. Yeah, we had it as low as 0.27% and as high as 11.24%. So almost about, give or take, an 11 percentage difference between the lowest and the highest. So it was all over the place. But the Walt Disney World resorts seemed to really keep it around that 4 to 6% mark. And the outliers were those either Riviera, which is the new one, or some of the beach properties. And we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, so we decided to break it down by grouping rather than just list off 15 prices. So we're going to start with talking about the monorail resorts. And I'm going to start with Bay Lake Tower. And they went to $6.90 for the maintenance fees for 2021, which is a 5% increase over the previous rate. The Grand Floridian, it went to $6.82, just below that. And that was a 4% increase. And the Grand Floridian is now the lowest price. It might have been already, but it was real close between Bay Lake Tower and Grand Floridian. They were almost the same. Grand Floridian is now the lowest maintenance fee of per point of any resort.
Yep.
And the third one would be the Polynesian, and the Polynesian is now $7.06 per point, and that is also a 4% increase. So those three were on the lower end. Is that surprising, do you think,
I don't think it's very surprising because these three properties are amongst the most expensive point-wise on the DVC lineup. So not too much of a surprise there because the points are higher. So a lot of dues are allocated towards those higher points, if that makes sense. And the example that we like to use is that the points are higher, but the studios are pretty much the same size across the board. So it's not like they're charging more for labor. They're using the same soap, as Chad was saying earlier. So not a big surprise. And the monorail happens to be shared by the cash side and the DVC side. A little bit of less transportation money has to go towards that.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, is that we all compare maintenance fees point to point, but something that's very rarely factored in is a studio at the Poly might be 24 points a night, and a studio at Old Key West on that same night is only 14 points a night or something like that. I'm just pulling these numbers out of my out of
the
hair.
And the same size. The rooms are more or less the same
size. It's the same room, essentially a studio. So maintaining that room should be very similar. Now, maintaining the rooms isn't the only factor. You're also paying for a portion of the site upkeep. You're paying for transportation. You can actually go and look at the breakdown for each resort. I didn't pull that up because you have to basically go into every single contract and pull up all these numbers. But one thing I do know is that Riviera has one of the highest dollars per point for transportation, and that's because basically paying for the installation of the gondola. So that's factored in there as well. It does make sense that these resorts, because the rooms are higher point totals, are a little less expensive per point. But it's good to see that they didn't go up percentage-wise that badly. So that's good to see.
Yeah, finally, the monorail resorts have officially beat out Saratoga. I didn't think I'd see that day. But
I know.
Saratoga
is now in fourth, I believe.
They're in the sevens already.
Behind those three.
Yeah.
But before we get to Saratoga, I did want also stick with the Magic Kingdom area. Let's go over to Wilderness Lodge. And Copper Creek went to $7.60 a point. That was only a 2% increase, which is good to see. Copper Creek started at a fairly high point price, but it's gone up very little. Price first came out in 2018. It was $7.26, and in 3 years, it's only gone up to $7.60. So that's one of the good things about a new resort. It usually seems like those first 4 years, the point prices don't go up that much, probably because maintenance is pretty low. Everything's new, so they don't have to worry about repairing things. It's pretty common that the rates don't go up that quickly on newer resorts. Interestingly, Boulder Ridge is now $8.11 a point. That was a 4.2% increase. So if you look at it, Boulder Ridge is about 50 cents more per point than Copper Creek Villas. Now, of course, the buy-in price for those two resorts is quite different. And of course, the lease end for the two resorts is extremely different, with the Boulder Ridge only having about 22 years left and Copper Creek having pretty close to 50. I think it's got 47 years left. So that factors more into the price than anything else. But as a point, Boulder Ridge is going to cost you about 50 cents more right now per point for maintenance fees. And
I think that has a lot to do with, for 2021, when they went ahead and reallocated the point values and the point charts, Copper Creek and Boulder Ridge prior to 2021 were the same. They were identical in seasons and points. If you look at 2021, Copper Creek is slightly higher on some nights. Not every night. There's still some nights where they're the same, but Copper Creek tends to be a little bit higher on some of them. So that could be why a couple pennies more, I don't know about 50 cents more, obviously other things could have factored into that, but they did differentiate a little bit this year.
Yeah, and the Copper Creek points also factor in those 26 cabins, which make a big difference. But a lot of things are equal. The maintenance of the resort itself, the transportation fee, those should be the same for both resorts. It really is just the rooms themselves and, as you say, the difference with the cabins.
And if you think about it, the Copper Creek pool, which is the featured pool, is actually shared by both the hotel side and the villa side, as opposed to Boulder Ridge, which has, I believe it's called Boulder Cove Pool. So it could be a little bit that Copper Creek might have a little bit less pool expenses, and Boulder Ridge is just eating up the entire pool on their side.
I bet that's, again, I haven't broken it down, but I bet that's actually not the case. I bet both DVC resorts share maintenance for that quiet pool there.
Okay.
I know it might be possible. I've never looked at it, and it's a good question. You would think that those things should be equal with those two resorts. So there's a challenge for our listener. Somebody go out there and compare the two and see if one resort is getting charged more for upkeep than the other one.
There's a reason why they're different. We don't know why, but there's got to be a reason.
Yep. Moving on from Wilderness Lodge, next we're going to head to the Epcot area, and we're going to compare Boardwalk, Beach Club, and I'm also going to include Riviera in there. Beach Club is now at $7.44 a point, which is a 5.4% increase, a pretty hefty increase there. And I know Boardwalk also went to $7.82, so it's higher than Beach Club, and that was a 6.1% increase, so of course my resort has a big increase. Great. And then if we look at Riviera only went up by 1.1%, and it's still though $8.39. So it's still the highest of the three per point. And in addition, the rooms are a lot more expensive than the Boardwalk and Beach Club. So not only are you paying more per point, you're paying more per night because there's more points per night. So it is definitely, from a maintenance fee standpoint, a more expensive resort right now than Boardwalk and Beach Club. Now, part of that is probably that Boardwalk and Beach Club have a lot of cash rooms that are absorbing the costs of maintaining the resort itself. Whereas Riviera, all the costs are going into the DVC points. So that maybe that's part of that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that one. But going back to Boardwalk and Beach Club, it makes sense a little bit why Boardwalk topped Beach Club in this scenario, probably because of what we were mentioning earlier. Boardwalk does have those standard rooms, which are significantly cheaper than Beach Club rooms. Depending on the time of year, it could be a big gap studio to studio. So maybe that could be why it's a little more pricey. Now, again, not sure. 40 cents is a lot when you're talking about dollars, but something to think about.
Yeah, and it's something I'll say. We all look at this and we go, oh, this one's cheaper, this one's cheaper. But unless you have a lot of points, I'm always like, that shouldn't really be a deal breaker. I bought at Animal Kingdom Villas, and Animal Kingdom Villas has almost always been about a dollar more than Saratoga Springs. And I knew I could buy at Saratoga Springs, likely use those points elsewhere most of the time and save a dollar point. But then I thought about it. Well, I got 160 points. It's $160 a year. Is that really worth it to me? When I love Animal Kingdom and I'm really happy staying there, and Saratoga Springs, I really don't want to stay there. So I was willing to look at that difference and say, that's not really that big a difference. We're at a point now. It was one thing when it was like $4 a point versus $5.50 a point. But now that we're up in the $7 to $8 range, the percentage difference between $7.50 and $8 is just not that much in my view. And so I still would tend to look at the resort itself versus how much the maintenance fees are.
Yep, I did. I'm almost there with you, Pete. I'm also an Animal Kingdom Villas owner. And again, I own 130 points there. So if it's a dollar, we're talking $130. The reason why I bought Animal Kingdom to begin with was so that I can stay there in December, which is my favorite time of year. So definitely $130 is well justified so that I can be in that lodge environment every year in December. So like he said, don't look at these and make it a deal breaker. They're very relative within each other, no more than a dollar more if you're talking about all of the resorts. So while we do analyze it a little bit, it's not something that you should ponder on too much.
Yeah, and a big thing this year is, until we get to them, there's really no resort that really got slammed like we've occasionally seen in the past. All the local Walt Disney World resorts and that 4 to 6% increase range. One thing to point out, I have a statistical mind, so I tend to look at what is the average across all the resorts, and the average was about 5.4%, and that included those couple that were high. For the average annual increase is about 3.7% over the history of DVC. But in recent years, it's been higher. Last year, the average was only 4.2%. So this was a high one compared to that. But the year before, which was the year the minimum wage went up from $10 to $13, there was a lot of big jumps, and the average was 7.6% in 2019. So this is less than that. It is still one of the higher ones of recent years. If I go back in history, you got to go back to 2007, 2008 to find an increase of an average increase of more than 5.4%. So it's still pretty high, higher than normal, but it's also pretty even across the resorts. So, yeah.
And I think a lot has to do with it. With obviously we're in a pandemic. Not, we don't know for sure. None of us work for Disney, but it could be that they're using more materials to clean the rooms. I'm not sure if that would make a huge difference in the price, but again, something to think about. Maybe they had to hire more people to clean the lobby because, you know, you still have to upkeep the lobby and the grounds. It doesn't matter how many people you have in the resort, like Jumbo House, you still got to maintain it. You still got to have people in the front desk. A lot of that could be taken into account, but it's just something to think about unless you look at the breakdown. Once we get those breakdowns, we'll be able to analyze it a little bit better.
For the last set of Walt Disney World resorts, we thought we would group Old Key West, Saratoga, and Animal Kingdom together. Of the three, Animal Kingdom is actually in the middle on price. It's $8.08 per point, went up 5.3%, so right about average. And the one factor there to remember, if you're an owner there, you're paying about 40 cents a point to keep the animals.
Yeah.
That's the only resort. If you ever look at the breakdown, there's a category there, obviously, for animal maintenance, and it's about 40 cents a point. So that's one of the cool things I think about owning there is that, hey, part of my money goes to animal upkeep.
Yeah, and it's like we were saying the other day, it's money well spent at the end of the day because that's priceless. I'll pay more than 40 cents to be able to sit on my balcony and watch the animals. That's why I own there.
Right.
So
yeah, exactly.
If there's a reason why you buy an Animal Kingdom Lodge. So if that's even in your realm of thought to buy there, odds are you're probably appreciating those animals. But if not, you probably wouldn't buy there. Buy like Old Key West or Saratoga since the purchase price is pretty much the same in all three.
Yeah. You think about it. If you have 100 points, you're paying like $4 a year for the animals. $40 a year for the animals.
If you're paying cash, that difference of a standard view room to a Savannah view room is about $120 a night.
Right.
So definitely you're getting a bargain with Vacation Club. Sure.
That's for sure. All right. So the other two resorts, Old Key West is $8.36 per point. And that was a 6.6 increase, a big increase there. And in fact, we've had four of the last 5 years have seen a big increase at Old Key West. So I'm not sure if that's because of the age of the resort, but 5 years ago, it was one of the cheaper resorts, and now it is one of the more expensive. Saratoga is $7.12, so it's still pretty low, but again, it is not below the three monorail resorts, and Saratoga went up 5.2%. And we were talking about this earlier. It's surprising when you think about it. They're both big resorts. They're both independent resorts. Why is Old Key West so much more expensive than Saratoga?
I'm not sure because even when a lot of people will say that Saratoga is cheaper because of the preferred rooms that they rolled out, which happen to be a little more expensive, going back to our analysis about the points and the same studio and all that jazz. But this difference has been the same even before they started doing preferred rooms. So I don't think it could be that. So it's a little surprising. Both are the same, more or less amount of points per night, same size. They're both very large. They both have the same transportation options. Both give you a boat to Disney Springs. Both have a lot of buses going to the theme parks and Disney Springs and the water parks. So the cost you would think would be almost identical.
Yeah, the only difference might be one thing to remember with Saratoga, they are almost twice the size in terms of the number of points of Old Key West. So maybe it's the site maintenance that is cheaper per point than Old Key West just because there's 14 million points there and there's only 7 million points at Old Key West. That cost is split across 14 million points. It amazes me that Saratoga Springs has gotten as high as it has, though, because to me, there's a lot about that resort that says this should have very low maintenance fees. And it at one point it was very low and it's not really anymore. And when you look at, we just said Beach Club, 744, Saratoga Springs, 712. That's almost no difference between those two resorts in terms of maintenance fees. You know?
None. Yeah. And again, coming from someone who owns at Saratoga Springs and Animal Kingdom Lodge, I was not the happiest of campers when I saw both of those dues go up because now the difference between Saratoga's dues and Animal Kingdom's dues are starting to shrink a little bit. It used to be a fairly decent amount of margin to justify getting points at Saratoga Springs, which is why I did. But if I can go back in time, I would probably, those 150 points that I have at Saratoga, probably would have gone for Animal Kingdom, since the difference isn't that much anymore.
Yep. So now we're going to move to the non-Walt Disney World resorts, and we're going to have the two big hitters, which are Vero Beach and Hilton Head. Vero Beach went to $11.24 a point.
Ouch.
Making it highest, the only one over $10, in fact, still. It went over $10 last year, and it's still the only one over $10 at $11.24. And it went up 11% this year. It also went up 11% in 2019, and last year went up 7%. So people at Vero Beach have been hit pretty hard the last few years in terms of what they're paying for their maintenance fees. Hilton Head did not go up quite as much, but it is still $9.98 per point, and that's a 9.7% increase. And again, I don't know why these are so expensive. I'm guessing because it's coastal issues.
Yeah, that's what I was told, because I used to be a Hilton Head owner for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Before I found out how much their dues are. It's because of the hurricane. So basically, the dues fluctuate at these two resorts more than they do at other resorts, because you have Mother Nature going against you, which the Florida properties, they still get hurricanes, but they're not coastal properties. So it's not as much to upkeep during a storm.
And that's why I've never understood the argument of, oh, I buy it at Vero Beach and it's only, you know, $60 a point or whatever for Vero Beach. And that is great for the buy-in, but when you're talking $3 to $4 more per point,
it adds up.
It adds up, and it adds up fast.
The only reason I would own there is if I actually wanted to go to those two places.
Yep,
I would agree. And Vero Beach, if you look at Pete's availability chart on his site, during 95% of the times, you can get a studio at 7 months. Hilton Head's a little bit of a different scenario in the summer. You need to own there if you want to go there in the summer. But Vero Beach, not 100% sure why you would need to own there unless you want the beach cottages, because you're paying a huge premium in annual dues to have that as your home resort.
Yeah, I would never recommend that to someone, as I said, unless it was, I want to go to Vero Beach.
Yeah, and just whenever, like, I'm a Florida resident, I still go to Vero Beach. I use my Saratoga points at 7 months, and it's fine. I get a much better value. So, the only reason why I would own there is to get a three-bedroom cottage, because those do go extremely fast. So I could see how that could be justified. Yeah, and it's a great experience by what I hear. So if that's all you, then I'd go for it. But
yeah, and Hilton Head, same thing. If you want to be there in the summertime, then yeah, you probably got to own there.
Yeah, especially for those grand villas, two bedrooms, you got to own there.
Yep. What that leaves us with is Aulani. And Aulani, shockingly, went up 3 cents. And that is a 0.4% increase by my numbers. Maybe I got a rounding error there, but it's pretty small. So good for Aulani owners. You must be happy. And then the last one is the Grand Californian, which went up pretty good percent-wise. The price is $7 per point. Did I say Aulani was $8.36 per point? Maybe I didn't.
It's $6.28 if it's subsidized, and then $8.36 for everyone else.
Yeah, the $6.28 is only like original owners that are in that subsidized.
And that saw the smallest increase, which was 0.27%, if I believe I'm correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Those people are, I don't know if lucky is the right term, but they got a good break there.
Yeah, they played their cards right.
Anyways, Grand Californian, $7 per point. That's a 6.1% increase. A little bit of a shocker in that the resort's been closed now for almost 9 months. So it's a little surprising.
I'm just hoping these folks get a credit now in December at the condo association meeting, because people who buy at Grand Californian intend to stay at Grand Californian, since the purchase price has really soared in the last couple of years to stay there. Aulani, not much of a surprise there that it stayed pretty much along the lines of it being Aulani. It's nothing out of the ordinary there. The biggest shock is Grand Californian. I don't know how these folks' dues went up so much when they've almost had going on almost a year. By the time Disneyland reopens, it might be a year from open to close. So not too sure there.
Yeah, And one thing we didn't mention, taxes, right? Taxes are actually a very large part of a lot of these maintenance fees. Mm-hmm. They're in the $1.50 to $2 range for most of them per point. It's quite possible that that's driving some of these increases as well. As I said, there's so many factors. It's hard to predict without really doing a super duper detailed analysis, but we're predicting anyway. So what
we're predicting. Yeah. And while they don't have transportation costs like monorail, bus, they just walking pretty much, the increase in taxes that they have from Florida to California kind of offsets not having transportation options. So definitely if Grand Californian had transportation costs, those dues would probably be a lot higher than what you're looking at now.
So that is our main topic, and we spent almost a half hour on it, but we do have one more small piece of news for those that didn't hear it. But on the same day, Disney announced that the Grand Californian Resort, at least the DVC side, will be opening on December 6th. Very specifically, they have announced the currently DVC's only Disneyland property will be reopening on Sunday, December 6th, despite the theme park gates remaining closed. However, with the Downtown Disney District and Buena Vista Street expansion being open, this will likely be similar to how Walt Disney World reopened their DVC properties prior to the theme parks being opened. Of course, when Disney opened their DVC properties prior to the theme parks being open, you also knew when the theme parks were going to be open, and we don't know that in California.
Yeah, so I don't know. I actually was one of those few people who was there between that little gap of June 22nd to July 9th in hopes of, okay, this might be the only time I'll get to do this in my life. They'll be open on the 9th. Here, there's no, I don't want to be negative and say no light at the end of the tunnel, but you don't know when they're going to open. But I think it's something that they had to do because you just can't not give these people an option for much longer.
I think that's why they did it, because they realized, holy cow, if we let this go much longer, we're going to have to credit points. Can't let this go for an entire year. But that said, yeah, okay, great. Downtown Disney's open. Okay, great. Buena Vista Street's open. Are you really going to plan a trip to a fairly expensive property just so you can go shopping and eat? I don't know. You know, it's one thing to stop by for the day. I can understand why people are doing that. You go there, you go shopping, you have dinner. There's some really great restaurants down there.
Oh, yeah.
But to actually come in and stay at the Grand Californian with also not knowing what's going to be open, they have not said the pool's going to be open. They have not said that the restaurants are going to be open. They have not said that there's going to be any room service or anything like that. So we don't know at this stage what's going to be provided to people at this resort, or if it's really just 46 rooms with nothing to do. I'm sure some folks will want to do it just to do a little getaway.
Oh, I'm sure some California residents. And like you said, it's one thing. What I did back earlier this summer was using your points at Old Key West to go to Disney Springs. Okay, Old Key West happens to be the cheapest on points, or one of the cheapest. It's one thing to use your points at Grand Floridian or Grand Californian, which are the same points, just to do shopping and dining. I'm not sure I would pay for that. Would you rather go to Grand Californian and have only Buena Vista Street open, or for the same price, go to the Grand Floridian and have all four theme parks open and Disney Springs? Granted, assuming you're not in California already, let's say you're in up north or in the Midwest or something, and you're flying either way to get to these places, obviously 9 out of 10 people would probably head down to Florida for the same price.
Yeah. And I'm not an owner in California.
Neither am I.
At this stage, I wouldn't buy a Grand Californian, I don't think. But especially with the new property coming 2, 3, 4 years down the road. But I couldn't imagine if I had a contract there, I'd be very frustrated by all this, because I would not want to use my points in Florida if I had a contract specifically for California.
Exactly. And you're going to see a lot of people banking these points forward to next year. And Grand Californian, it's very competitive to get a studio, 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, across the board. It's just plain hard to get a room there during normal times. Now you have a lot of these folks banking their points forward to next year. It's going to be near impossible to get a room there, even if you own there. So if you don't own that Grand Californian, I would imagine the next 1 to 2 years, you're probably not going to get in unless you waitlist and some pixie dust is sprinkled on you.
Yeah. And as you point out, now it's March through November. So that's like around 8 months worth of points that are backlogged at that resort. It's crazy how that's all going to work out. And it's going to be bad enough at Walt Disney World where it's 4 months worth.
It's one thing like at Animal Kingdom, if you don't get a value studio, okay, you have other options. Here, it's only one category per room. There's no preferred view, or it's just all the standard views.
Yep, it's all the same views, and there's 46 rooms total. 23 are lock off, so there's 23 studios and 23 one bedrooms, and then 23 dedicated two bedrooms. And then I think there's only two grand villas, mm-hmm. and the grand villas are, forget about it. Yeah, yeah. Anyways, I think that's pretty much all we were going to talk about. It was really only two topics, but those maintenance fees, that's a big deal. We'll be watching closely to see if there's any announcements about the 2020 maintenance fees to see if there's going to be any kind of refunds. I'm sure almost all members, at least all knowledgeable members, are curious to see how they're going to handle that. Are they going to give us some sort of refund? Now, again, most of the resorts were closed for about 4 months. And so in theory, you should be thinking, hey, maybe we're going to get a third of our money back. I doubt it's going to be that much because there's some level of maintenance that still has to go on while the resorts are closed, but you should see refunds around housekeeping. You weren't paying for housekeeping for 4 months. You weren't paying for the amenities for those 4 months. So
no transportation either.
You weren't paying for transportation. Exactly. So we should see, I really do believe they're going to give us something back. I don't think it's going to be a lot. I would guess between $1 and $2 per point. And $2 would be high.
That's generous.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it was that high. But I think we could see like a dollar per point or $1.30 or something like that.
I'm with you there. $2 a point might be a little generous. I'm thinking 70 cents to a dollar, maybe $1.50 if they're really feeling it. But we should find out more between December 10th and the end of the year. We might not get an answer on December 10th because I'm assuming it takes a lot of auditing and a lot of accounting work to figure it out, how much did we actually spend during these 4 months. So I would expect, don't lose hope if we don't find an answer on December 10th.
I would be quite surprised if it doesn't come up on December 10th, even if they don't put out a number.
Exactly. We'll find out whether it's a yes or no. Just the dollar amount might be, it might take them a little longer, but that's fine. I definitely agree with you. On December 10th, we'll all be watching closely. And Pete and I were saying earlier, hopefully it's virtual so that a lot of us can attend because most of us don't schedule our trips around this association meeting. So it might be a nice little treat that we will get to watch it this year.
Yeah, I've talked to people that have gone and they say it's dreadfully boring. So I've never really wanted to plan a trip around it. But yeah, I'd be curious to watch it virtually. So I'm hoping, because that would be maybe not interesting, but it would be educational. How about that?
If it's virtual, all three of us will have our ears to the floor during that meeting. We'll be taking shifts.
Yeah, because I bet the other question that's come up is reflections.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big one. I think we all know the answer on that one more or less, though, that it'll probably be a couple of years. But yeah, I'm hoping reflections turns into something because I might be interested in buying there. That's all me. I love Wilderness Lodge. I love Copper Creek, and that seems up that alley. So we should be hearing a little more.
Yep. Yep. Let's be honest. We're going to have the 2022 point charts coming out around the same time too, which will be interesting because they did shift the seasons this past year and they are limited into how much shifting they can do in a year. So it's quite possible we could see some additional adjustments coming this year.
We definitely could. That last year, the biggest adjustment was making September 1st to the 19th, which I'm all for because that's the time I go every year. Three big things to watch out for. New Perspective Resorts, the credit of the 2020 dues due to the pandemic, and 2022 point charts. So it should be an interesting meeting, actually.
All right. With that, we are going to wrap up this episode. And thank you, everyone, for listening to us this week. Have a great day or evening or whatever time it is where you are, middle of the night.
Car ride to work.
Ride to work, ride home. And then also make sure to check out the other podcasts on the MyDVC Point Network. We have a community hall podcast that happens every Sunday night. There's the regular MyDVC Points podcast that Chad hosts that I think usually goes up on Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure what day it goes up on, but
not 100%,
where he talks to
there.
Yeah, he talks to different members and such. And then, of course, Jake and I are both going to plug the trivia on Fridays because we've both been getting involved with that as well.
Yes.
And that is an absolute blast if you're a Disney fan to come and play trivia, learn some new things, and it can be a lot of fun. So make sure to check all those out, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.